Hello, hello. Okay. We settle down out there a little. Okay. Welcome to social engineering, which we traditionally do on Sunday, because a lot of corporate people like to come just for that, and we want them to pay full price. Seriously, people come here at 3:55 from AT&T, and they pay $50 for the weekend just to see this one panel. And we don't want to disappoint them. So we're going to, of course, be talking about what social engineering is with our esteemed panel here. And we're also going to attempt to make some calls, like we like to do sometimes. Keep in mind, though, this is pretty well unplanned. We have a couple of things lined up that may work or may not work. But understand, with any attempt at social engineering, it could fail completely. So it's very nerve-wracking. We want to do something cool. We want to be successful and get information we're not supposed to be able to get. But it could fail. We could get nothing. We could get yelled at. We could have the cops called on us. We don't know. Let's start by introducing everybody on the panel. Over to my right is Cheshire Catalyst. And to my immediate right, Kevin Mitnick. You know me, and to my left is Bernie S.
Good evening.
I want to start just by asking Kevin, since he's the master social engineer, according to all the authorities, what is social engineering?
Well, it's basically using deception, manipulation, and influence techniques to get people to say yes to what you want them to do. For example, giving you a piece of information or doing some sort of action that creates a security hole that you could exploit later. So I guess that's a reasonable definition.
Whenever there's humans involved, it seems like there's going to be a weakness someplace. And as long as human beings are involved, you'll be able to get information that you're not supposed to get from them. And that's really what social engineering is all about. What you do with it beyond that point, that's really up to you. You know, you might just be trying to get some information that will be an advantage to you somehow, or you might be trying to do something more nefarious, you know, lie, steal, cheat, whatever. We're here just to demonstrate and talk about how easy it is to get people to tell you things they really shouldn't be telling you. Maybe we can just give a couple of examples from the past as to what we're talking about, things that have happened. You guys have any stories you'd like to relate?
I never did it before. So I'm sure I did it before.
Well, some of what social engineering is getting to be places where maybe you're not supposed to be. I used to have a series of things I called Operation Backdoor, where I would find my way into the backstage area of various concerts and things. The Smothers Brothers were coming to town way back in the 60s, and they were great heroes of mine, as was their political pundit, Pat Paulson, who I actually voted for president a number of times. So I'm underground in the War Memorial Auditorium of Rochester, New York, with my good friend, and we're waiting for people to come around, because you're supposed to be there very early. The locals think you're from out of town, the out-of-towners think you're local, nobody knows who you are, and you're running around with a clipboard, so you must be official, right? So we're coming around this corner, and we see down the long corridor just underneath the stage, this fellow coming towards us, and behind him, the guard following him. So this fellow comes up to us, and I say to him, "Hi, I guess you're not supposed to be here either." He takes this in, says, yeah, I guess so. Okay, come with me. And we step into the dressing room right there. I tell him, sit down. You, the kid who's walking up, you start fiddling with your camera. Al, and I whip out a little booklet from the back of my clipboard, start reading this. And I start scribbling on my clipboard. The guard gets to the dressing room, looks in, and I say, "Hi, may I help you?" No, that's okay. And off he goes.
And a funny other story about the clipboard is there was an inmate that was incarcerated at Leavenworth USP, United States Penitentiary, and he got some street clothes while he was in custody, grabbed a clipboard, and then walked around the facility, and the guards were letting him through anything because looked official, like he was carrying a clipboard. And he walked out right to a taxi cab at the outside of the prison entrance and just took a cab, and that's how he escaped. It's a true story.
And in an ironic twist, this panel itself would not be possible to have today without social engineering. There is a crucial piece of equipment. We have here a telephone patch, which allows us to tie the phone line audio into the PA system. It's a special kind of hybrid patch. And I had about 8 boxes of equipment I had to haul up here from Philadelphia, and so tired I forgot to pack that box. So I got up here a couple days ago and just realized yesterday I didn't have the box with the phone patch in it. And it's a long drive to Philadelphia and back. I was already exhausted. So I called a friend in Philadelphia, had them go over to my apartment, get it, and called Amtrak, and they assured me that they could use a service called Package Express to put it on a train from 30th Street, Philly, up to Penn Station over here. So had to use some social engineering just to get the equipment on the train because they said it can only be certain items. What is it you're shipping? I said, it's a piece of electronic equipment. Said, oh, we don't allow electronic equipment to be shipped. So why not? He said, well, we don't know what it is. It could be a bomb or something. Like, okay, well, what is acceptable? And they said, clothing, food, that sort of thing. So I called back again and said, I need to ship a piece of clothing with some books to New York. And they said, okay, and I gave them my information. And they told me to be on a train that night and to be here this morning at 10 a.m. So it came on the train. It got up here. I went over to the station to get it after 10 o'clock, and the office was closed. The door was closed, and I talked to a security guard. They said, no, they're not open until Monday. I said, well, I was told that Monday morning, Sunday morning, I could pick it up. He said, no, it's closed. You can't get anything. So I'm like, what am I going to do? So I looked at the counter where you're supposed to actually pick it up, where the security guard wasn't. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I went back to the hotel. I had this nice polo shirt from the National Security Agency. I put that on, came over with my, came back to 30th Street with this two-way radio we're using for communications here at the conference, and walked up to the counter directly. I said, we have an urgent package from Philadelphia. It's urgent. We get it immediately. And I just spoke with a stern tone of voice with a shirt, with an emblem, and the radio. And the guy behind the counter is like, yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir? Come right back here, sir. And it's one of the biggest challenges in social engineering is not to lie if you can help it. So I didn't tell any lie. I just said this is an urgent security issue. I didn't say I was with the National Security Agency. He let me right back there. He said, whatever you need, sir, just pick out whatever you need. And I'm looking at all these. There's all these packages. I said, all right, this is the one I need. He said, do I need to sign anything? No, sir, it's yours. And so I just left with the box. I could have walked out with anything from Amtrak Package Express. So you know, if you need anything there, just wear the right clothing. Unbelievable.
You didn't hear that here. They're a block away, Bernie.
Hey, Bernie, I remember...
Seal off the exits.
Hey, Bernie, I remember a similar thing where I don't know, it was about a decade ago, and I went into a courthouse to get somebody's file. And I went up to the court clerk, and I was dressed in a suit. I was wearing my 2-meter HT radio, and she handed me the file, but also another document that said sealed record with it. And she thought I was some sort of law enforcement or a court officer, so I got a copy of the sealed record without even asking, because she perceived me to be an authority based on the suit and the HT.
Supposed to be sealed.
Okay, let's have a little fun here. Fast food, that's always my favorite because you get all kinds of crazy reactions from people. We're going to try something today. This is what I call the multi-step social engineering exercise here. And that's where you go one step at a time and get more information each time you make a phone call until you have a lot of information to prove that you're entitled to the information that they give you at the end or the action that you make them do at the end. So we're going to, our target today is going to be Taco Bell. I need a little help here. Does anybody know where they're headquartered, where their corporate headquarters is? Anybody? Irvine, California? Thank you very much. You see, it's good to have this information handy. Okay. Great. My name for this exercise is going to be Scott Williams, so don't be confused if you hear me call myself that. I'm going to pick up the phone, and hopefully there won't be ghastly feedback when I do. There's no dial tone. Okay, who's the wise guy? What just happened? All right.
1, then the area code and the 7-digit number to complete your call. Favor de marcar el 1 después.
All right, I forgot.
Just dialing your cell phone.
Microphone, please. Okay. I forgot, in this city, you have to dial the full 10-digit phone number. I forgot that, okay? I'm from Long Island. We still have 7-digit phone numbers out there. Okay, let's try that one more time. Sorry.
Ready?
Hi, this is Taco Bell.
Yeah, this is Taco Bell.
Hi, this is Scott Williams. I'm calling from the Village Voice. We're compiling a list of local restaurants, and we just needed to have your store number. Do you have that?
Which store number, sir?
Yes.
Which one?
I think it's a 4-digit number.
Our 4-digit.
For the location. I'm sorry.
Sorry, sir?
For the location of your store.
Sir, we are location in 150th Street, Broadway.
I know the address. It's just we're compiling a list of the store number. This Taco Bell number, you should have a 4-digit number.
So the 4-digit number is Broadway, right? That's 3645.
That's the address, but you have, I think it's printed on the receipts. It's the franchise number.
1 minute, I'm checking my franchise number.
Thank you.
But his manager's not here. Would you like to call tomorrow?
Well, you should have that information today. It should be there. We're printing tonight, so we need to get that information now.
So because his manager is not here, it's just fine.
Is the manager there?
Manager is not here today.
The manager's not there.
Yeah.
Can you look on a receipt, and it should say Taco Bell number 123 or something like that?
So is my Taco Bell is insured. Is a 786. Like that, I said I don't know about anything, right?
786?
Yeah, 786.
That's the store number, 786.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
All right. I mean, that's really nothing. We got a store number. We can probably get that by looking at a receipt. But it adds credibility to the next call, assuming he didn't give me the wrong information. Where we say that we want to do something involving a store number and we know the format of the store number. We're going to call another one just to kind of verify that information and hopefully get more information as well. Let's see, I have a number here. Sorry, do I have to do that thing again? What the fuck? It is funny.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hi, this is Scott Williams from Taco Bell Central Irvine. Did someone call us concerning a problem with cash registers?
From here?
Yeah, we had a call from store 786, was it?
786?
What's your store number?
My store number?
Yeah.
You call KFC Taco Bell?
We're calling store 786. That's what we were told, that there was a problem with the cash register.
I don't call. I'm the manager.
You're the manager and you didn't call. Okay, it's possible we got the wrong store number. What is your store number?
My store number 163 something.
1638?
16382.
16382. No, that's definitely wrong.
331 KFC Taco Bell 4.
Okay. Can you tell us the model of your cash register? Because that would help us find out. I'm sorry, say that again?
It's a PAR register.
Spell that, please.
PAR. Are you calling from PAR?
PAR? Can you just...
PAR, P-A-R. Where are you calling from?
PAR. That's a different brand than what we're calling for the CRS.
CRS?
Yeah. No. Cash register service.
No. We don't have any contract.
Okay, either. We must have gotten the wrong information. But you have PAR register, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the information.
I'll give it to you. Bye.
All right. So, you see, it's nothing spectacular. We're just getting little bits and pieces of information. Now, I believe he gave us the right information, store 16382. That makes more sense because I think there are 16,000 Taco Bells around. And we know the name of the cash register now. We know it's a par cash register. So we're going to try one more and see if we can get them to do something fun based on this information. And, again, this may not work. This is unscripted, untested, and someone's picking up our phone. Okay. It's you. Okay. I think somebody's calling us. I think that's the problem. I'm going to call one last number here. Okay, I've got a number there. I dialed the wrong number. I'm going to have to hang up. Sorry. Don't have a dial tone. Okay.
Pizza, you want to stick him out with
you? Yes, hi, this is Scott Williams calling from Taco Bell Irvine.
Okay.
We're calling concerning a problem with the cash register that you might be experiencing.
Yeah, somebody already called and gave them the information they need about the loaner that we have and the actual register that we have.
Somebody already called?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like maybe 30 minutes ago.
Okay. Was this for a par cash register?
Par? No, not par register, no.
Okay, what kind of cash register do you have?
CER, something like that. I have to go upstairs and then check it.
Could you do that for me?
Okay, one second.
Thank you.
Requires patience sometimes. Thanks for being so patient. Okay. There's a mute switch, so I guess we can talk while he's running upstairs. So basically, he's going to check the cash register model, and I'm still thinking in my head what I'm going to ask him to do. So hopefully, he'll do it. Change prices? I don't know about that.
It's been a franchise.
I honestly don't know.
Price decrease.
Maybe they've been having cash register problems. This happened to us with Starbucks last time. I think we called up and they were having network problems when we asked. Okay. People are feeding us information here.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I got one loaner, which is a Casio CR1000.
Okay, the Casio.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it was the 1000 you said?
Yes.
That's okay.
The one
who am
that,
I speaking to?
Sorry?
Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Junior, the GM of the store.
Junior?
Yes.
Okay, hi Junior, this is Scott Williams.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to need you to do. What time is your franchise open until tonight?
Until 11 today.
Until 11?
Yes.
We need to run an upgrade. It's going to require that you not run the register for 5 minutes. Let me see what we can...
Are these registers connected to a phone jack?
What happens is it's connected through the phone lines. You don't see the actual connection into the cash register, but we do provide software updates, and the problem you're having is probably because of a firmware upgrade that you didn't get.
Oh, okay.
And what we need to do is we need to send that to you tonight so that your day-end totals will register properly. Otherwise, it could be a problem Monday morning.
Beautifully. So, I mean, we close the doors at 11.
Okay.
And we're still here cleaning or whatever. So after 11, you could do whatever you need to do.
Well, that's just it. You see, we're not there at that time. We're out in California, and And we go home about 7.
Oh, about 7 our time.
Yeah, so the latest we can do this is 6 our time, which is 9 your time. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just for a 5-minute, it's actually closer to 2 minutes, but just to be safe, if for 5 minutes you could just not use the register, say from 9 o'clock to 9:05.
So 9:05.
If you could just do that for us, that ought to clear up the problem. Just don't touch the register for 5 minutes.
Okay, at that time, at 9 o'clock exactly, our time, we'll stop taking orders until 9:05.
Exactly.
All right.
And at 9:05, probably at 9:04, but just to be safe, let's say 9:05.
Okay, now the Casio one that I gave you, that's the loaner. The actual erasers that we use are the CRS-3000.
You have the CRS-3000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be getting the upgrade as well. What we're going to do is we're going to send that firmware upgrade down the line. It should affect all of your cash registers so that they'll all be in sync and so that there won't be any communication issues between them. And that's what the problem is that you've been having.
Oh, okay.
So if for just 5 minutes, you can shut that down. You can just shut that down for 5 minutes. You can still take orders, but just don't ring them up, all right? If you just have you can take the orders and make the food and all that, but just don't actually touch the register for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes. Yeah, we could manage that. No problem.
Okay. And just so we're synced, what time do you have now?
Right now it's 4:29.
4:29?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we have. We've got 1:29 here. Okay, so we appreciate your help. Junior, was it?
Yes, Junior.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, goodbye. Bye.
If anyone is interested, they can go to 18... East 14th Street at 5th Avenue around 9 o'clock. Please, somebody go with a video camera and place a big order and just see what they do. I'm very curious. Who's got a story while I recover from that?
We could have asked them to just don't worry about customers during that time period. Corporate authorizes you to give the food away just for that 5 minutes period of time. But if we did that, we'd have been committing some kind of a...
Well, there's that, but there's also you want to maintain that level of trust. You notice he was not suspicious at all. I was saying some pretty bizarre things to him about different... I didn't know anything going in there. I didn't even give him the store number. I didn't know what brand register he had. I didn't know anything about how they were set up. These things aren't connected by phone line, I'm pretty sure, but I was able to convince him that they were somehow. So he's going to instruct his staff not to touch things for a five-minute period. I mean, you know, this is a relatively harmless prank, but you can get people to do all kinds of things. You can get people to close the store for a period of time, send people home. You know, it's...
You know, it'd be
I shouldn't have any of this information.
Emmanuel, it would be interesting if you find a restaurant that has, if you don't get a receipt, your meal is for free. And you call them up, and you use some sort of pretext, so they won't give anybody a receipt for a certain period of time. So then you know when you go in and get a free meal, right?
Right. there are malicious ways of doing things and non-malicious ways of doing things. What I like to do is I like to, you know, establish a relationship with the person. I asked him what his name was. We became friends. Junior, I'm Scott. You know, thanks very much for your help. You know, and also the hint of trouble if he doesn't do what I say. There could be trouble Monday morning, so please cooperate or else. But, you know, said in a nice way so that, you know, he believes that he's doing the right thing. And, you know, okay, it's going to be a little inconvenient, but there's no real harm done. Also, you should always have a plan for backing out of these things, too. If he calls your bluff, have a phone number ready to give him. That sounds legitimate. Have a way of explaining why you're saying something that makes no sense at all. Things like that. Most of the time, though, you don't get questioned as long as you maintain that that air of authority. It can be tough to gain that confidence, but once you practice a few times, I think it works. How many people have read Kevin's book, The Art of Deception? I can't recommend a better book on how social engineering works than this book here. It's written for companies mostly so that they can protect themselves, but also there are some ingenious plots in there, plots and schemes to get information, including, I think, one where you actually...
Would you classify those as malicious or non-malicious?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, I don't think that's malicious at all. I think you're telling people how to exercise the system. It's what you do with the information afterwards.
Right. That's
right. But basically, I think there was one instance where you were able to actually figure out how a bank would transfer money to somebody without any kind of authorization whatsoever. How would something like that work?
I think you're talking about check systems, which I want to tell you a favorite one that was pretty funny. It still has me laughing today. Is many years ago, I was in Digital Equipment Corporation's EasyNet, and that was a worldwide network, like Sun's is Swan, Dex was EasyNet. And they had DECnet protocol, and I was looking for a program, a piece of commercial software, since there was nothing free or shareware, where I could pretty much put a sniffer on one of the nodes in the network so I can capture clear text traffic, you know, albeit like passwords and stuff like that, so I could spread, you know, throughout the network easier. So I did some research, and I found that a company called Bear Computer Systems had an office in Los Angeles, and I actually was living in L.A. at the time. This is when I was a teenager. So I did a little bit of research based on my phone freaking knowledge, and I found out that this company was actually run out of this guy's house in Toluca Lake, California. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out all the phone numbers that were terminating at that residence, in other words, how many phone lines they had, and they had like three. One was a regular line for voice, and there was two that had dial-up modems attached. So I went to my VT100 terminal, dialed up to these modems, and I noticed the behavior of the system on the other end was a VMS system it would beep at you, which meant it was looking for a system password before it would give you a login prompt. So I thought about the problem for a while, and I was thinking, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll add call forwarding to those two phone numbers, forward it to a system that's under my control, and then when someone would dial in, they wouldn't be logging into the real system, it would be the decoy system, and I'd be able to capture the person's username and password. But I figured, this is such a small company, it's run out of this guy's house, there's probably two or three employees, I can't call the guy at home and say, hey, I'm another employee, because that obviously wouldn't work. So I thought about another method of doing it. Instead of call forwarding the dial-in number, because it was unlikely that customers would dial in, it would be more likely that he would dial in from when he was outside the office. So around that same time, DEC was releasing security patches because there were so many holes found in the VMS operating system that they set up an 800 number that anybody can call, and you just give them your name and address, and they would send you a box and you could pick the media. It was either mag tape or a cartridge tape, and you'd have the latest security patches rolled up onto the tape. So I found out you can call the number. They didn't even verify you're a customer. You can just say, hey, my name's Joe Blow. My address is such and such. I need 10 patch kits. And then they would ship them out, Federal Express, the next day. So I ordered 10. So I took the box out of the tape, I put it into a VMS system that I had access to, and I rolled back the patch. In other words, VMS had a special format of how they would store these patches in what they called backup save sets. So I'd unravel it, like unzip it if it was like WinZip, for example. And what I decided to do is I'd put in a special Mitnick patch of my own. And what that patch was, it was to the program that acted as the system's gatekeeper called LoginOut. It's like bin login in Unix or Linux. And I had a special patch that I could log in with a special password, and I'd essentially be invisible. So I included this patch, I rolled it back up onto the system, and then I wrote it back to the cartridge tape because I could write to it. Then I went and I put this tape back into its plastic shipping bag with a shipping label, because I actually had a printed copy of what was being shipped. I went over to a friend's office and had that shrink-wrapped, packaged it back in the box. Then I was thinking, okay, now all I have to do is drop this package in the mail, and then when they get it, they'll install my special patch. So I was thinking about this. I was in L.A., and DEC, all their stuff came out of either Colorado or Massachusetts, and I wasn't about to fly to Colorado or Massachusetts or mail it to somebody else to mail for me. So my next step was to go to a costume shop. So and this is Hollywood, right? This is Los Angeles, so there's a lot of costume shops for the motion picture industry. And I got a UPS uniform, right? So I get a UPS uniform, I get the UPS hat, and I get the clipboard that Cheshire is so, it's one of his favorites. And around 7:30 in the morning, we show up at this company's house, knock on the door. The guy stumbles, to the door because I think it kind of woke him up. And he asks, can I help you? I go, yeah, UPS, we got this priority package for you. Can you please sign? And I was rushing the guy, and I was actually trying to step inside the house or the apartment inside the doorway so the guy wouldn't look outside. Now, does anyone know why I didn't want the guy to look outside?
No truck!
Exactly. So the guy never looked outside. I had to wait about 2 weeks before the guy installed the security update, and it worked. But it was kind of interesting because I was always concerned about how do you solve the problem of not having the truck? But it worked. So, whatever. So beware of the UPS man or FedEx man bearing gifts. It may be a Trojan.
Another effective tool in social engineering is, well, a couple of effective tools. One is stupidity, acting stupid yourself. People give you more information that way. Another is anger. When you're angry, people tend to want to placate you and give you information to calm you down a little bit. So I'm going to get angry now, and I'm going to make a phone call to a video store, and let's see if they'll give me information they shouldn't give me.
Blockbuster?
Who else? There's only one.
Blockbuster 34th Street.
Yeah, this is really getting to be too much here. I got the phone call from Blockbuster saying that I owe money for videos.
Okay, can you hold on 1 second? I have 3 people in line, and I'm by myself right now. I'll be right with you.
All
right,
but this is out of hand.
All right, well, maybe I'll move to the top of the list. I don't know. We'll give him a minute to deal with the other angry people, and maybe he'll come to us faster. I'll listen here, and someone else wants to talk. Or we could take questions. Use the microphone there. And when we give you the signal to stop talking, because he's back.
I just have a quick question. Yeah. Do you feel nervous at all when you're doing this, or are you so used to it that it's just natural?
There's a degree of nervousness because you never know what you're going to walk into. But the thing to remember is these people can't see you. They don't know who you are. I'm against lying to people that I know and trust, but I have no problem lying to people who I never see in my life. It's like, you know, they're machines themselves someplace. You know, they don't care about you. You don't care about them. As long as you're not hurting them, you know, you're getting them to give information out, okay, but you're not really using it against them. You're not reporting them and getting them in a lot of trouble, hopefully.
Can you actually prepare for the conversation? In other words, you think about all the objections that the target may have, and you already think about it ahead of time before doing the attack, so you're prepared. If you go in unprepared and you do it extemporaneous, it's less likely you'll succeed, unless the people on the other end are truly gullible.
Yeah. And now, you know, if we hold on with this guy, by the time he gets to us, we're going to be even more angry. So he's going to want to really bend over backwards to help us. So I'm going to hold on for a couple of minutes longer, and then we'll have to move on if he doesn't come back. Yes, Red Bull.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting question. Caller ID. We're going to demonstrate something on that as soon as we get through this. Yeah. Yes, Rebel.
My question is, being at a lot of these companies like AT&T and Visa are shipping their customer service people overseas, is there a way to social engineer those people in India or wherever to get them to give you where their location is, what their number is, so that you can maybe bypass and not get connected to them?
I just took my MasterCard out of my pocket because I had an experience with them over the past couple of weeks, and I was going to try something like that. So, good suggestion. We'll try giving them a call. How many of you have spoken to MasterCard, American Express, and realized that you're actually speaking to somebody in India or something?
Yeah, within
good
the first
phone
few
connection
seconds
too.
To figure that out. Yeah.
And some of them have Ohio accents, which is unbelievable. Okay, I'm going to give this guy about 30 more seconds because my thumb's starting to hurt with the mute button. Go ahead.
Kevin, in your book, you mentioned prepaid cell phones as an excellent, you know, dump number.
Right.
Are there still prepaid services like Verizon's FreeUp and whatnot? Or what are the better ones? Can you still pay with cash? Is that looking like an avenue that's going to close up anytime soon?
Well, you can pay with cash. You can go to Rite Aid and get a prepaid credit card, a MasterCard. So there you go. You have instant credit card under any name you choose. And with at least in the L.A. and the Las Vegas area, you can go to 7-Eleven and buy a prepaid cell phone for probably $50 and buy the cards, and you could put it under any service name, any name that you choose. So it basically could be a throwaway
sir?
Phone.
Hi. Sorry for the wait. Okay. What's the last name on your account?
Last name is Jones. First initial B.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the last name?
Jones. J-O-N-E-S. The problem is I just got back from vacation. I'm going through my messages, and I hear this thing that...
Okay,
slow down.
What's your first name?
Initial B. Should be no first name.
Initial is just B?
Yeah. My wife took out the
B. Johns. I have an Eric Johns, a Dorothy Johns.
Dorothy, Johns. Okay. That's my wife, Dorothy Johns.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. We return videos. I don't understand why I'm getting phone calls from Blockbuster saying that I owe money for videos that I know we return.
Okay.
But they didn't say what video it was.
Did you get a postcard in the mail?
I didn't get a postcard. I got a phone call.
Uh-huh.
And
it's probably just a reminder saying you have a balance. Let me just pull up the history on this.
We shouldn't have a balance.
This has been quite a while. I can't even fish out the history.
But we haven't even... been taking out videos for quite some time.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I'm getting phone calls when we haven't even been to the store.
When did you get a phone call?
I just got back from vacation this morning, and there were about 50 messages on my machine, and this was one of them. I don't remember the exact time it came in, but I don't remember the exact amount either. I think it was something on the order of $10 or $20.
Yeah, it's a $27 late fee. And I can't, it's weird, it's very odd, because I'm trying to hit a history on the computer, and it says there's no history records for this customer.
I don't even remember giving my phone number. That's the thing that bothers me.
Well, when you apply for membership, your information is on your account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Blockbuster has an automated account maintenance service that does that. It will automatically pull things from a computer, and if you have a balance or... if you have something still checked out on an account, it'll call that number that you list on there for your membership.
So you're saying you have that number right there?
Yeah, 5645.
I don't remember giving that number out, so that's...
Okay,
things should be done by mail. When I signed up for the account, I said specifically I just want to get things by mail. I don't want to be getting phone calls, telemarketing, that kind of a thing.
Okay. You'll have to come in and take a look at the membership application, because obviously you signed it and you might not have actually really looked at it.
Do you have the proper address?
Yeah, it's 240.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry if I appear to be angry here. It's been a long day, and I just this is something I just didn't want to have to deal with right now.
No, listen, I'm going to have to talk to my store manager about this, because...
would you please?
I
appreciate it.
Because for some reason I can't research the history, and I want to find out what it's for.
All right. I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name's Artie.
Artie?
Yeah.
All right, Artie. Thank you very much for being helpful.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye.
If there had been a history, we could have gone into what films they would like to see, but apparently they hadn't used that account for a while. Now, notice I just went in there with the last name. I went in there with the last name and an initial. I used an initial because the odds of finding something with an initial are greater than finding something with the same first name. He started rolling off a list of all the Joneses, so I just picked one, my wife, Dorothy. And you take it from there. And the anger made him more nervous. He was able to bend over backwards to try to please me. And in the end, he feels like he's helped. So no harm done. Okay, we mentioned caller ID. We wanted to try a demonstration with caller ID.
Sure.
We need a volunteer. Somebody who will step up. Not you, Rebel. Somebody who will step up to the microphone and just give us a telephone number that they would like to see a phone call come in from on this telephone here. Can we have this this camera? Okay.
Did you want a real phone number?
Well, it has to be real phone number format. Why am I not seeing that? Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Can everybody see that? There, it's gone. Are you happy?
Up.
You don't know how hard this is. Fine. It's those little
backwards
challenges.
Backwards and upside down at our end, so.
Okay, AV people, we're going to need this number to be muted so that they don't hear what we're down here. Okay. Actually, why don't you give us the phone number first so we can write that down. Go ahead. And don't give your phone number out.
Oh.
Well, because we don't want everybody in the world calling you.
Right.
All right.
How about 508-619-8342?
508-619-8342? Okay. And this is not staged. We did not arrange this in advance.
Should I stay up here?
All right. And now I'm going to make the phone call.
Should I stay up here, Emmanuel?
You can stand up here if you want. Oh. It's not going to make any difference. You're going to get your number on this thing anyway.
See, now you can put it on.
Actually, it's pulsing. Why is it pulsing? All right, I might have messed up the phone. Hang on. In my nervousness, I flipped it to rotary. Okay, can we?
The nervous social engineer.
I'm nervous. Yeah.
Can't
all
be
right,
nervous.
Make sure this is not going out. Okay, can you bring it up now? Bring it up.
Please enter the area code and number you are calling now.
Okay, can you bring it down for this? Thank you. And up again.
Please enter your mask number or the number you should be calling from now.
Show that this
show
was
that
in fact,
is
my,
in fact my phone.
All right. So, caller ID is one way that you can really get a good social engineering prank going, because if someone sees a number on a screen, they're going to believe that you're actually calling from that particular place or office or whatnot. So it's a great way to gain credibility. And so many people, we proved this 2 years ago, so many people still believe caller ID is dependable data. It's not. It could be spoofed. Anything can be spoofed. What's what number? It's a secret. That's what that number is. But it's a demonstration that these things do exist, and it is possible, and it's easy. I'm going to swallow this now so nobody will get it from me. Any other? Is Santa Claus on our panel?
you want to know how it works? Okay, all right.
All right, Kevin, explain how it works.
Okay, I'm a member of a telephony community group, and they have switching equipment there in their facility, and they allow you to write XML code, like voice XML. They have call XML, and it's only like a 10 or 15 line script that we've written that basically does this. It's really simple, and in the script, it just takes the DTMF that I input through the keypad and just puts it into a field called the caller referral number. And then what it actually does is the number I'm calling to, it does a three-way, essentially. It's three ways over, sends the caller referral number, actually sends it to the phone company. That's the number we're actually calling from. Phone company doesn't validate it. And then it conferences me in once the call is sent. So it's actually like doing a three-way call, essentially, like a conference call. That's how it's like working technically under the hood. If you have any more questions about it, I'll be happy to answer, except I'm not giving the number out.
But the number will be available on his website.
There you go.
Okay, I guess we have time for one more try here at something. As we were talking about before, various credit card companies have employed people in foreign countries to do the work that people here would do for much more money. It's really kind of frustrating, too, sometimes when you're trying to get information and there's either a language problem or there's just this incredible time difference where it's nighttime there and daytime here. It's nice to know where you're calling, and lots of times people don't realize that they're calling different places. It's also weird when you think about it that you're talking to somebody who sounds like they're next door when they're on the other side of the world, and you know, who's paying for that call? Sometimes, yes, sometimes they're in prison. Sometimes they're, who knows where they are. You don't know anything about the call centers. So we're going to try and find out a little bit about this particular call center. And I have to stress that we are calling MasterCard, so sometimes they put you on hold. Sometimes they just act stupid most of the time. So we're going to call an 800 number, try to get through to an operator, see if we can get information. I think the goal is to find out where they are and, if possible, to find out an address even, phone number, something like that. Let's see where it goes. First challenge is getting an operator.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area.
Oh, they're pulling this on us again?
T.
We can't call 800 numbers? Try another what? I only have one. I'm going to try this one more time. Okay, I'm going to look into this a little further. I want to make sure I have the right phone number. Where do I call? Okay, just talk for a minute while I double check the number.
We had a problem. At our last conference, we had someone figured out what our phone number was here, and they called the phone company and Verizon and had them cancel certain services like long distance and 800 service, so that may have happened. But there's a way around that. We have a calling card that allows you to call 800 numbers, which is most of them don't. Whenever you call an 800 number, they know the number you're calling from. If you call American Express 800 number, even if your caller ID is blocked, they're using another service called ANI. They can tell what number you're calling from, unless you're using a special card like this. This is called the red card. You can find them at some of the rental the places you can buy calling cards.
Yeah, it's a great way to call for cheap overseas from payphones and all kinds of things. Okay, so I'm going to try that first. I'm going to try your calling card solution here. We're going to call that access number, enter the code, and try the 800 number, see if that works. If that doesn't work, I'll try the American Express number Kevin has furnished me. So I guess we're
plus I have a way, if any of you are interested, to set up a way that when anyone calls you, no matter if they block the number, you could see what number they're calling from, if anyone's interested. So, anyone interested? Raise your hands. You're interested in that one. Okay. When he gets done, I'll tell you how.
Can I get a quick question in real quick? Okay. So many service people these days are governed by scripts that they have to follow, and they're trying to answer your question. How do you try and get them to break out of that script?
Hit a touch tone.
You have $5.76 remaining.
Okay,
please enter the telephone number you wish to dial now.
All right, let's try the 800 number.
You have 7 hours, 22 minutes remaining for this call.
That should be sufficient.
Thank you for choosing the Chase Platinum credit card. Enter your account number.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hit a zero. This used to work all the time, but it gets harder and harder to reach operators these days.
We're sorry. We did not recognize the information. Enter your account number.
Yeah, it's a little tussle here. I'm going to do it again.
For faster service from the next available representative, please enter your account number now.
She doesn't give up. Okay, I'm going to do it again.
If you're a good boy, I'll fix it for you.
Please hold for the next available representative to assist you. For quality purpose, your call may be monitored or recorded.
That was payback.
Thank you for calling Chase Card Member Services 24-Hour Service Center. All of our representatives are assisting other customers. Please hold for the next available representative.
Hello?
This is Gloria. May I have your account number, please?
Actually, I'm not a customer. I'm calling from MCI in New York. We're investigating some troubles with the lines that your call center had reported. Is this, am I reaching Mumbai or am I reaching Canada?
Actually, this is in San Antonio, Texas.
This is San Antonio, Texas. Oh, then everything is messed up. do you have your call center number, the ID number?
Ooh, I sure don't.
Don't have that?
And my manager's not even here today.
Oh, dear.
I mean, she left earlier.
Uh-huh. Would you happen to know the Mumbai office in India? Do you have that information?
No, sir, I certainly don't.
Okay. In that case, can I get a DID for your office?
I certainly can. If you can hold one moment, let me get a...
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor on the line, though, who'll have more information than what I do, okay?
Okay, thank you very
much. Just one moment, certainly.
Thank you.
Should I go through the explanation? Is there a hold? All right, what you do? All right. There's a service called YouReach.com, and you can set up a toll-free number. As you know, it costs probably like $7-$8 a month. So what you do is you forward your number, say your cell phone number A, to the YouReach number that's created for you, which is a toll-free number. Then YouReach has a menu where you can call forward that toll-free number to another number. And you see what's happening here? What it does is it flips the caller ID privacy bit, because what happens is you set up the target number that they're going to call into. It forwards to the YouReach number, which you set up. That YouReach number forwards to another number, which now will display the caller ID unblocked. Understand? Okay. It's really simple. And it works.
Since we're running out of time here, and since Kevin has to be on an airplane, rather than be on hold with Chase, I'm going to try the American Express. You say that always goes to India?
Usually.
Okay, we're going to try that instead. So,
while he's
San Antonio's boring. I'm sorry. I wanted to speak to somebody overseas.
This mic's on, right? Is the mic on? Yeah. All right, while he's dialing, just a question for you, Cheshire. While you were doing the disguising with the clipboard going backstage at concerts, have you actually ever gotten on stage?
No, that I haven't even attempted.
It's not that hard. Have you ever tried using a costume?
I have not.
Oh. No, I know. Okay, he's on the phone there.
Okay, they blocked American Express, so we have to do the other thing again.
You can do it to the other number, too. Yeah. Works. Well, hopefully YouReach.com won't take away that feature anymore, because it's kind of cool. The only problem is then you have two numbers you have to deal with, one that you're going to receive the unblocked call on and one that the target is going to call in on. Then again, you could always use Vonage to do it as well, right?
Tell us about Vonage. Kevin, tell us about Vonage.
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know much about it other than, you know, I just use it for my voice over IP service. It's relatively cheap. The quality of service from my residence isn't the best because I use the bandwidth a lot. Then, of course, the signal doesn't go through too well.
Remaining.
Okay, go ahead.
Please enter the telephone number you wish to dial now. You have 7 hours, 16 minutes remaining for this call.
American Express, please have your card available. For balance, recent account activity.
American Express, please have your card available. Enter the 15-digit card account number now.
Not a chance.
Do any of you use Vonage, by the way? Okay. Only a few hands, I'm surprised.
We did not recognize your input. Enter the 15-digit card account number now.
The cool thing is you can take the box with you and you can go to Europe, plug it into a broadband connection, and you could have a New York number right there.
This call may be recorded for quality purposes. Your account number may be used to provide customer service and information about available card benefits and services.
Hello, my name's Marie, and how may I help you?
Yeah, hi, this is Scott Williams from MCI. We're calling in response to a trouble report from your call center. Am I reaching Mumbai or Canada?
I'm sorry, actually this is in Manila, Philippines.
This is Manila? Okay,
yes.
That's the problem. We should be reaching Mumbai. Do you have your call center DID number? That's the direct phone number to it.
Just one moment. I'll try to get in touch with our IPO department. Would you mind just holding?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does she sound like she's in the Philippines? She sounds like she's in Texas or something.
Notice that Amex records all the calls. You hear the 15-second beep?
Oh, they have a 15-second beep?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, just, yeah.
It's like back. The old days.
Yeah.
Kevin, when you call someone with Vonage, what shows up on the received parties and caller ID?
Wait, what did you say again? I'm sorry, Bernie.
When you call someone with Vonage or another voice over IP service, what shows up on the received party?
Well, the caller ID that they assigned you, the number that they assigned you, that caller ID, but you could use it in conjunction with the UReach trick to unblock caller ID. To unblock caller ID blocking. Yeah. There's a double negative for you.
Okay. Customer identification number, I actually don't have that information. But let me get the direct number. What number did you try calling?
We came in on the 800 through New York. However, we have a way of routing it to specific call centers so we can troubleshoot when there's a problem. And what we should have gotten when we dialed this particular code was Mumbai, and instead we got Manila. I have a feeling what this is it's offset by one because alphabetically they're one right after the other. So we probably have some database corruption that resulted that caused this problem to happen. If that's the case, it's easy to fix, but I just would need to have the direct number so that we can compare it on the list.
Okay. As far as you're trying to get in touch with our customer service department, and this is the 1-800-678-0745, if we have gate numbers available, but it also is associated to Manila and New Delhi.
We need the number with the country code and city code.
Oh, no, we don't have that information.
Do you have a local number that you can call for a supervisor or when you need to reach the call center locally?
If you want, I'll connect you to a supervisor at Greensboro. They might be able to get you some information. May I have your name again, please?
Yes, Scott Williams with MCI.
Scott Williams. And you're just doing troubleshooting?
We're trying to isolate the problem because we've been having it throughout the weekend. And we just would like to make sure that the lines are going where they're supposed to go. Otherwise, there could be some issues.
Okay, sure, not a problem. Would you mind just holding for a moment? I'll try to get you connected to supervisor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so while she's doing that, continue with the question.
Yeah, what I was saying was...
Please wait.
Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, if you call the UReach number with *67, you can do outcalling from that, and it'll show that 800 number as the number that you're calling from. So it's good if you need to pretend you're a business. And second, where can you find those UPS uniforms online?
No. If you set up your UReach number and you call forward it to cell phone B, and you call forward cell phone A to
right,
UReach,
I
and that will unblock.
Yeah, I know what you're right. saying, but if...
No. False alarm.
Oh, okay.
Well, saying if you just do a *67.
No, I'm saying if you want to pretend to be like a business or something and you're calling somebody to solicit some kind of information, it works well because you're coming from an 877 or 800 number, something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
That's another good one.
And it's pretty cheap, so it's all good.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that information.
All right, Kevin's going to have to leave pretty soon, so I'm hoping... she said please wait again. They say please wait every now and then.
You should ask her what number she calls when she's late for work.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to ask her that information.
Or
but
she has to call in sick.
Sometimes it doesn't work. You know, sometimes you don't get the information that you want, and sometimes they protect. You know, it's not something that you would think they would protect that aggressively. It's just their location, phone number. And we already know their location. We know they're in Manila. So ideally what I'd like to get is the address, the call center number, the phone number. But who knows what's going on over there in Manila. Does anybody know what time it is in Manila? It's pretty damn late or something. So it could be a long wait. Let's...
You might want to suggest to the supervisor that their call volume may go through the roof.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Yes, Mr. Rowland. Sorry about that delay. I have a supervisor on the line, Mark, but he'll try to get some information for you, but he cannot guarantee yet.
So all right, just, like if you can just give me what you have, it would help us tremendously in the troubleshooting. We just need to know any kind of DID or even the address would help us. Just find it in a database, and that way we could stop the problem from continuing.
Hello, Mr. Williams.
I'm sorry?
Hello, this is Mr. Williams I'm speaking with.
Yes, Sky Williams, MCI.
Hello, this is Mark at American Express. I understand you're actually doing some troubleshooting, right?
We're trying to find out why calls that are supposed to be going to Manila are going to Mumbai instead. We think it might be offset by one, and what we can do is we can isolate this by looking up the correlating numbers in the database. We have Mumbai, but we don't have Manila. Is there any kind of information you can give us? A call center number even would be helpful.
Well, I think the best thing I can actually do, can I place you on hold? I think the thing I need to do is have a word with our phone operations management desk and see if I can get you a specialist in that area because they'd be able to answer the question.
Okay. Would you just be able to give me an address? Because we probably have that information as well.
An address?
Yeah, just the address of the call center so that way we can look in the database.
Because you've ended up back now in Greensboro, which is 7701 Airport Center Drive in Greensboro. But as to where Manila, where the physical addresses in Manila and Mumbai are, I don't know.
Are you in Manila right now?
No, I'm not. I'm in Greensboro.
Are you in Greensboro? Was I just speaking to Manila?
You were, yes.
Oh, so they transferred me over to Greensboro.
Right.
So that's what I was hoping to avoid because now we're crossing the planet again. All right, so do you have a direct dial number at all for Manila or Mumbai?
I don't know. That's why I need to get Mr. Williams to bear with me so I can get you to somebody who does know because I simply do not know.
Okay.
My specialist is dealing with accounts, not phone situations.
Okay.
Bear with me, please.
All right, thank you.
I'll see what we can do. Thank you.
Picking up a pizza, ordering a sandwich.
Right, as you can see, it's a big, long journey around the world sometimes to get information from these people. But if they give us the information in a timely manner, we'll be able to get it here.
Yeah, it's not like the movies where everything happens like 1, 2, 3. Sometimes you have to be really patient and things take a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work at all. Sometimes you get busted. I mean, it's happened to us all. Where?
Well, not me.
Oh, yeah.
So if I can close off the panel by reminding people that we have just been social engineered because Santa Claus was not scheduled to be on this panel today.
Sometimes you want to be on stage.
And he has social engineered his way onto the stage.
Okay, we're going to put a 2-minute limit on this because we do have other people that have to get on here at 5. That's 5:12 right now.
Yes, hello.
Hello, I have the operations desk to help you further.
Okay.
Yes, can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Scott Williams from MCI. We've just been trying to isolate a problem that was reported in Mumbai for routing calls. Apparently the problem was that the 800 was going to Manila when it should have been going to Mumbai, and we're just trying to locate the circuits here.
Okay, let me actually get our CCM department online. They're actually who you need to talk to. Can you hold for me?
You don't have a DID, do you? Because that's all we need.
I don't even know what you're referring
to. I'm sorry, a direct dial number for Manila. That way we can just look it up in our lookup table in the database and just make sure it's correlating properly.
I don't know. Let me get CCM on the line. Can you hold for me?
Okay, thank you.
Well, we're getting a nice little tour of American Express at least, so...
It's not unusual to go through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 levels of supervisors before you really reach the information you need. You really have to persevere.
I forgot to ask him what part of the planet he's in. Who knows where he is?
He might be in New York.
With the new American Express rewards cards, you'll be automatically enrolled in our
membership
rewards program.
Why are they playing me telemarketing stuff?
And earn double points at the PlayStation shop
another
every
thing,
day.
Thank you for holding. I have you with centralized call management.
Hello.
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
Miss Darlene.
Hi. This is Scott Williams from MCI. We're just trying to isolate the problem in New York that was reported in Mumbai, where the calls are being routed improperly. And we think we can solve this just with a DID from either Mumbai or Manila. Do you have that information?
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of a problem with the routing.
Yeah, what's happening is that calls that are supposed to be going to Mumbai are going to Manila and vice versa. It's not affecting customers, but it is affecting when the lines are getting tied up, they're going to the wrong place. And you might get some circuits busy as a result of that. We can probably fix this just by having the DID number and correlating it to the 800. So either a DID from Mumbai or a DID from Manila would be helpful.
I don't have the DIDs for those. I have an IPO number. That's as far as we would contact.
Okay, why don't you give me that?
Okay. Which one do you want?
If you can give them both to me, that would be more helpful, I think.
Okay, do you have a ticket number on this?
Not yet. We haven't opened the ticket because we don't think it's going to be an issue that needs to be resolved that way yet. This has just been reported in the last half hour.
Okay, and what is your name again?
Scott Williams, MCI, in New York. Who am I speaking with now?
This is Darlene.
And where are you located?
In CCM in Greensboro.
Okay.
Okay. If you'll hang on 1 second, I'm going to put you through to the Mumbai IPO because I have it on a group list, and it's a speed dial.
Okay, that'd be
okay?
Great. Thank
all
you.
All right, just a moment.
I really thought I was busted there for a second.
What's
she was asking
callback
who I was.
Number?
I thought she was going to say, there's no Scott Williams at MCI. And but she's apparently transferring me now to Mumbai, which, by the way, used to be called Bombay, and they changed it for some reason.
When they ask for a ticket number, you can't just make one up either, because there are usually a set number of digits. So it was good that he averted the whole question of ticket number, because if he just made up a number off the top of his head and it was the wrong number of digits, he would have been busted. So he handled it the right way.
Yeah, you want to avoid giving the wrong information. Better that you cloud the issue and just change the subject somehow without them realizing what you've just done.
Or you try to find out the format of the trouble ticket numbers ahead of time.
Hello.
Thanks for holding. I've got the IPO online for you.
Okay.
They've got a local telecom person there today in the site.
Oh, great.
If you need to speak with them, I'll just drop you off into their site and let you get transferred over to the telecom
person. That would be great. Thanks so much for your help.
You're welcome. Mumbai?
Hi, Mumbai.
Yes. Right, sir. I'm there. I would just need to connect you to one of the person in the telecom department.
Okay,
from the
you.
technology department, and they can assist you with that.
Okay.
Please be online when I transfer the call, sir.
I'm sorry?
Please be online. I'll transfer the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is what, 9 or 10 transfers you've gone through now? You have to do this sometimes.
We have something like 6 or 7 people working on this now, and I don't even know what this is.
I just want to announce that the next panel, the media intervention via social and technical hacking, will be a full hour right after this is over. We just have to push things back. So thanks for waiting.
It took us this long to screw up the schedule, so I guess it's okay.
It's worth seeing, so I recommend you stay.
Any other questions as we're waiting on hold with American Express?
Yeah, questions would be nice. Please try to keep it down back there because it's kind of hard to explain to people why there's a crowd on a phone call. Please ask questions so it doesn't appear so dull.
How many people here consider themselves social engineers? At one point or another, they've done it. Everyone raise your hands.
Wow.
That's it? Come on, everybody raise your hand. If you haven't done it yet, it's as long as you keep it safe, it's just a fun thing sometimes.
Come on, you social engineered all your parents before. Come on. All those hands should be up.
It's a good skill to have because you can get into places that you need to get into.
Can I social engineer the telemarketers when they call? Like pretend that I'm like somebody else. That
how would you social?
No.
Hello? Somebody there?
Okay, I thought I heard something. There was something? What did they say? And that wasn't me?
Hello, is anybody there?
That was me.
Bouncing back from Mumbai.
Read my lips. The question was, can you social engineer telemarketers? I'm not sure exactly what would you want them to believe about you, that you're a psychopath or something?
Yeah, you got the telephone butler, right?
You could convince them that they're calling the wrong number and so that they could take you off the list.
They don't care about that. They'll call whatever number their auto dialer dials. The thing is, you don't want to piss them off too much because sometimes they're calling from maximum security prisons because they give the work out to inmates. And they have your number and they have your address and maybe they'll get out someday. So,
apart from this, telemarketer.
Yes, sir. I'm just answering the call.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I'm just answering the call now.
Could you just speak a little lower, please?
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm transferring the call to our department now.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're right.
I was saying there's a large segment of the population that can't say no to a telemarketer.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
Imran, you?
Hi, this is Scott Williams over at MCI New York. We're just trying to troubleshoot the problem that was reported, and all we need is a DID or an IPO from Mumbai.
Can you repeat your name?
Yes, Scott Williams, MCI. The problem is that calls are being misrouted from New York. And they're going to Manila instead of Mumbai. You might have noticed the drop-off, and we can probably fix it with a DID number, which is the direct telephone number for the call center.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that information?
You need the circuit ID for that.
I need the country code, city code, and telephone number for the call center, yes.
Our call center?
Yes.
This one, though. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, our direct number is 310.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 312-955?
310.
I'm sorry, 310-955.
1234.
1234.
Our extension is 23313.
And I'm sorry, what's the country code and city code?
Okay, you need the direct number, not an IPLC number.
Yes, the direct number.
Yes, sir, then I'll provide you the number. And I'm not getting your name. Can you spell your name?
Yes, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Williams.
S-C-O-T-T?
S-C-O-T-T, Scott.
Okay.
Williams.
Scott Williams. Okay.
I'm sorry, Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, with MCI.
So I just hold for a moment.
Okay, we just need that number. That's 310.
Yeah, no problem.
955-1234.
That's our IPLC number.
That's the IPLC.
It's 23313.
Okay.
Right now we are talking on an IPLC number, right?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You need it.
Thank you very much.
This number will do.
I'm sorry.
This number will do.
Well, we just need the number that is directly dialable in India.
Yeah, it's directly available in India.
Okay, so what is the city code in Mumbai?
It's for Mumbai, it's 022.
022?
Yeah.
Okay, and you dropped the zero from overseas, correct?
I'll give you one more number.
Okay.
It's a direct number.
All right, that'd be good.
9191? 9191? It's just 911.
Okay.
9122.
Okay.
5697.
Okay.
47.
Okay.
71.
That's 9122 5697 4771.
Yeah.
Okay, this should be enough to fix the problem. What's your name again?
Imran. I-M-R-A-N.
Thank you so much for your help.
No problem.
Good night.
Yep.
I don't know what that number actually is. I think it's a phone number, but I'm going to try calling it later, see if we can
call forward to it.
Yeah. But I guess if you ever want to really, cut some time and get to American Express quickly, directly in India, and pay a premium rate for it too, you can always dial that number. Okay, a couple of questions, and then we have to quickly get going.
During these calls, I hear a lot of in-band signaling. Do you think you could be generating those tones to switch you to a supervisor who can solve your problem?
That's a whole other topic there. But, yeah, they do use in-band signaling in many parts of the world still. Boxing is still popular and possible. Go ahead.
I found one of the hardest things when I make some of these phone calls is when I'm stuck at a dead end and there's a piece of information I'm missing and I have to back out of a call.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really hoping that you'd fail somewhere, but you didn't, because I wanted to see how you would approach backing out of a call.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but
maybe you can share with us a couple stories.
No, I have failed, and a good way to if you're pursuing some information. Can you hold on a second, please? I'm getting another call. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call you back. Something like that. Or you simply, you make it hard to hear. You do something to your voice so that they can understand you. I'll call you back on a better line. Worst comes to worst, you just hang up and start over again in a few hours when they have a shift
problem to solve. You don't need the help anymore.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Last question, and Kevin's really got to take off.
Just a quick comment. If you're dialing a 1-800 number and you don't want them to see your caller ID, you can dial 10-10-2-880 before and just dial an 800 that way, and it causes an anti-fail.
I don't know if that always works anymore.
Every time I've tried it,
it used to. It depends where you're calling from. There are lots of other ways to opt-divert and block your number from being transmitted.
There's a toll-free number that you cannot be called from payphones, 1-800-555-TEL, which is, and if you try and call from a payphone, it does not work. But if you dial 102880, wait for AT&T to say, please enter the number you want to call, dial 800-555, and it'll just work.
Okay. All right. We're out of time, folks. Thanks so much. And let's thank Kevin for being here. He's got to take off right now. His airplane leaves in about an hour and a half. So
bye,
thanks,
buddy.
Kevin, for being here. See you next time. And don't forget Taco Bell, 9 o'clock.
And don't do anything I wouldn't do.
We want video.